I just want to get your take on this, because as I look back at the legacy of the Spanos family, they did make it to the Super Bowl. They got their rear ends kicked by Steve Young, 6 touchdown passes later. They've learned from those mistakes. But do you think this truly was handled as well as it could be?
No, I think it was handled poorly because, to me, it was kind of indecisive the way it was. And, indecisive in a sense, it's like, okay, what they ended up doing is that they seemed to want to keep Marty, who, of course, has won 200 regular season games, more for his staff than Marty himself. And I think that was bad. Secondly, to wait this late in the game, it just seemed like, there was no real plan that they had. And, of course, you can see where the dysfunction was working because the staff was falling apart. Guys were leaving. Guys weren't happy on the staff. Marty was trying to take care of them. They end up losing two candidates who could have become the head coach. And so I think in a lot of ways it was mishandled. And I guess in some ways what probably should have happened was that if they were going to make a move, they probably in retrospect should have made it at the end of the playoffs as opposed to now.
And the criticism is Dean Spanos felt that Marty had promised that he would be retained with the caveat that he had to retain the core, the so-called core of the coaching staff, and that didn't happen.
Well, the argument obviously had nothing to do with Cam Cameron and Wade Phillips because there was nothing that they could do to block their departures. But I think where the disagreement came down was three other coaches. Rob Tuchinski, who was the tight ends coach, ended up going to Cleveland for the coordinator job. Greg Minuski, the linebacker coach, who ended up going to San Francisco for the defensive coordinator job, and one of the strength coaches who went to Miami with Cam Cameron. In two of those instances, the Chargers claimed as an organization they blocked the move. Marty, trying to be fair to the coaches, knowing they were in one-year situations, kind of overruled that and was able to get both to get the interviews and go ahead. And, of course, when all three guys were ended up in departure modes, that, of course, irritated Dean Spanos because he felt that Marty wasn't doing a good job in trying to keep his staff together, even though those three guys were under contract. So that was disagreement number one that led to the final straw that this was going to be a change in the making.
Why so much loyalty to A.J. Smith? I mean, I know traditionally and bureaucratically the power structure, the interaction between the GM and the owner, the president, is going to be more significant. But when it's a different thing when you're in the first, second, or third year of that so-called five-year plan. When you are in the fifth year and you are truly right on the brink, have you ever seen anything like this?
In San Diego before, because go back and you mentioned a Super Bowl where Dean Spanos was involved, and the head coach was Bobby Ross, Dan Humphries was the quarterback, and the general manager was Bobby Bethard. And right after that Super Bowl, there was a major disagreement between the general manager and the coach. What Bobby wanted to do was get more input from the coaching staff. Bobby Ross then came back and said, "You don't talk to my coaches unless you clear it through me. I don't want you going through my back talking to my assistant coaches." And so their relationship went as bad as Marty and A.J. Smith to a point where Dean Spanos had to make a choice. And the choice that he made was to stay with the guy that brought the players as opposed to the guy that coached the players. And so you can see there's a little bit of a history there. But I think a lot of times you look at this Marty-A.J. thing and think this is a rare instance. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I mean, it happened with Dick Turan. Dick Turan, of course, had his problems with Jerry Angelo. You can say to a certain degree it happened with Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese. A lot of times when you have success, you have the coach who wants to obviously take credit for the success. You want the general manager who obviously wants to take credit for the success. And a lot of times...
Well, who is he? What has he done? What has A.J. Smith done to make this a better team? You tell me, what has he done? Besides the fact that he won the Philip Rivers battle, that Drew Brees was let go, and indeed Philip Rivers looks like he can handle it and take it to the next level, probably. But besides that, what has he done?
15 Pro Bowl players, either as Pro Bowl on-the-field players or alternates. That's what he's done. I mean, he's assembled one of the most talented teams in football. He parlayed the Eli Manning trade into three Pro Bowl players, Nate Keating, the kicker, also Luis Castillas, who I think many consider one of the best defensive linemen drafted in the 2000s, and, of course, Sean Merriman, who arguably each year is going to be a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. You look at the offensive line. He picks up in a non-first-round pick, a left tackle, Marcus McNeil, who ended up going to the Pro Bowl. He ended up taking a running back in Michael Turner. You look at that roster, and you can see there's certainly genius. As brilliant as Marty Schottenheimer, and you know because you played for Marty, as brilliant as he was as a coach, A.J. Smith has been as brilliant in assembling the talent on that team. So that's where you can look and say, where does A.J. Smith get his clout? Look at the players. Look at the team.
Look at the losing teams that have tremendous talent as well and have 15 Pro Bowlers that became Pro Bowlers after they left that team. That's my point, that if you don't have the coach that brings in that level of belief and trust, that it's at least 2 years before they have a chance. I will say that, you know, anything's up in the air right now. Anything can happen with a new acquisition, but the chances of having the chemistry, the level of belief, and continuing to take that next step are almost completely gone, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because now, I mean, you know, not only do you have to adjust to different coaches, but different coaching style. And the one thing that you can say, and again, you've now seen it happen at four different places, Marty Schottenheimer's style works with players. They like playing for him, and you can see the success. I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's had success. Now, again, he only had 1 year in Washington, but in 1 year, he took a team that was just really just riddled with undrafted players and won 8 games with them. And he took the Chargers and, you know, taught them how to be a winner. That's a hard thing to try to replace. And so now the pressure is going to be on A.J. Smith to try to come in and find a replacement. I think he can find an acceptable head coach. I think there's, you know, again, it may not be Marty Schottenheimer. It's not going to be a coach with 200 career wins in the regular season. But I do think the problem that he's going to have is filling out the staff, because that is going to be where the downfall of the team could be. If you don't have good coordinators, if you don't have good position coaches, and to think that you can find them this late is going to be very, very difficult. That is going to be the biggest challenge that A.J. Smith has and the Chargers have.